podcast.
Bring your friends.
It's literally I hit play and it's just us.
Yeah.
Like most people think that when they come to the show, it's like this extraordinary, like, oh, it's like, no, like I don't play that shit very well. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for being here, by the way. Like, I know
it's been a long time in the making, right?
Yeah. I've been asking you to be here for about 3-4 months, I think.
Yeah.
Jeff Vail, for the people who don't know, he's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu at our gym. And he's a pretty cool guy who I've been able to train and get thrown a lot by him. So thank you for coming. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. It's always fun when I have jiu-jitsu people, because it's not like with Eric. I can't talk jiu-jitsu with Eric because he just looks at it and he goes, yeah, that's a choke. Yeah, you're going unconscious. Or, yeah, that's your arm's going like this, so I understand mechanically your arm breaks, but I can never go into like, okay, so do you think Gordon Ryan's on juice? Like, you know, shit like that. Not that I'm saying that he is or he isn't, but
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the pictures of him
lately?
I think it's, you know, I think some of those guys aren't on juice, but I think also that Acai, Jesus, and Hot Women.
I think all of them are on juice. All the top ones. I mean,
all the top ones.
They're on something, and maybe not.
Peptides, maybe.
Peptides for sure, 100% peptides.
I don't understand what the fuck peptides are. Like, that's what I've been trying to figure out for like.
Think
the
of
past
it like
year.
Peptides are basically like a, a building block of protein, but your body synthesizes them extremely fast. So,
okay,
if you were to take a peptide, most of those are harder to detect than if they were taking testosterone or taking something like that.
Like cypionate, I feel like cypionate shouldn't even be testosterone because it's like HGH. I feel like that's like, and I don't know.
I mean, a lot of it is, it's all PEDs, right?
But, yeah.
I mean, know what everybody's taking. I mean, people in the UFC were getting caught with EPO, which is basically what the cyclists were taking, right? So
when all our hopes and dreams were crashed, when we found that cyclists were taking fucking, that was like so weird to me that people felt bad about cyclists taking steroids.
You know, they're doing in 2024, they're doing a somebody, I'm not sure who it is putting on a steroids or PED no testing Olympics. Is what we're getting at. So, which I'm cool with. I think the most level playing field is to let everybody use the drugs. And
but they're gonna look like, but they're gonna look like fucking anime characters,
Richard,
bro.
I wanna see 700-foot home runs.
You wanna see 700?
I wanna see flash KOs. I wanna see people slammed. I wanna see hits where the quarterback gets knocked 10 yards down the field.
But that's anime.
That's what I wanna see, Richard. You know,
everybody, I just wanna see like a Goku Vegeta, like
everybody on the drugs, man. Like,
everybody,
because when they're illegal and everybody, you have a certain amount that's cheating and they're slipping by and they're getting through. That is a less even playing field, in my opinion, than if everybody were allowed to use them.
Legal in the sense of like for the competition is what we're talking about. Okay, yeah. I just want to make clarification. Yeah. I mean, I'm on cypionate. I've been on cypionate for 3 years, and I was talking to somebody when they go, oh, that's how you lost all that weight. I go, yeah, I just take it and I sit on my couch and eat Doritos. And like, I used to think that was it.
Yeah.
And then I remember the first time it took like 2 months for them to like, you know, the cycle this other shit. And dude, I remember the first month, like I used to have really bad sleeping problems. Like Brian used to make fun of me because Brian's like, bro, you're like a fucking little ninja in the corner. You don't sleep. And I remember, bro, the first time I slept for like 12 hours. I woke up and like, you ever seen that meme, the Jumanji meme? Where it's like, what year is this? What is it? And Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Dude, that's how I felt. And ever since then, that's been like the number one thing for me is like sleep. It helps really regulate sleep. I work out like twice a day and stuff like that, which honestly, it sucks. It really sucks because I'm always tired when I go to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like I've also learned like a lot like about lab work and all that other shit. Like we had Dan Garner here. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Name sounds really familiar.
He's Sugar Sean O'Malley's nutritionist.
Mm.
Which, shout out to Sugar Sean, he fucking won that fight like a fucking beast. And Dan Garner was telling me, he's like, get lab work, check your he's it's a gene testing thing where they check your saliva and it'll tell you all the deficiencies that your body naturally has. And dude, I'll tell you what, doing that, I learned a lot of things. Like, I process B12 like water, and that's not supposed to be like that. It's because of, I think they had explained to me, like, a lack of sleep or shit like that. Your body just, it like fucks with your body. And dude, I take like a B12, take a little more than what they tell me. Like, they tell me to take this much, which is a little more than the average person. And my body operates pretty fucking well. I mean, I move like shit at jujitsu, but
Well, I mean, I think that most people they want to jump into a diet, they want to lose weight, they want to do whatever, and they really should start with the blood tests, you know, the right type of doctor, not your family doctor typically, you know. A lot of times when you go to your family doctor, you know, they're gonna look at the range, and if you're at the lowest part of that range, they're gonna go,
Man.
well, you're in range, you're fine, you know. And
Yeah, in
you know, I think
range.
what we're trying to do is live optimally, right? Is what you want to
Yeah,
do, you
you
know.
want to be able to. The other thing is, man, is like, it gets such a bad rep because I came to discover, like, there was someone at the gym one day that was like, man, you feel strong. And I was like, oh, thanks. That's a backhanded way to tell me I had good technique. And we were talking about what people are on, and I list everything, dude. Like, I'll tell you everything, you know, even the supplements. And someone's like, oh, that's how. And I was like, I came to learn very quickly in the past 3 years, like, how fucking uninformed people are. Like, and I used to be like that in the army. Like, I'd just take like a pre-workout, mix it with like a Red Bull or something, and then go fucking run 10 miles, you know? And it's like, I never realized, like, no, if you look at your blood, saliva, and even like Dan Garner said, like your poop, like if you get like a poop analysis, it's the fastest way for someone to tell like what's wrong with your gut. And dude, by God, I've learned a lot. Like, I've learned a lot. And I also listen, one thing, I don't know if this happened to you, one thing that I started doing is listening to my body a little more. Like, if I feel like, oh man, like my breathing's off. Like, well, let me check my blood pressure. Okay, my blood pressure's good. My breathing's off. Maybe it's nerves, you know, but I don't feel like a lot of people do that. Like, a lot of people just, they're just up in the fucking air with this shit, you know? It's just, oh man. It's just been weird. Which leads me to my next point. I've been meaning to ask you. You won Master Worlds. What year was it?
2020.
Okay, which was a hard year too, because it was around the whole COVID thing and everything. I always wanted to ask you, how did that go?
What do you
Like,
mean?
when, so let me put it this way. Obviously, getting there is nerve-wracking, because I've competed at PANS and I've competed in all these events, and your heart's racing, you know. And even me, like with combat experience, like, I don't look at it as nerves. I look at it as like the excitement of just getting to work is what I came to realize. Because nerves to me, it's like when I'm sweating. But it was like the excitement of just, oh, finally, all this fucking work, now we're gonna put it there. How did it feel for you? Like, what was that experience like?
Well, I mean, I think to really describe it, we need to go back, you know, to months beforehand. So, you know, I felt like I had really kind of got in a groove competing. And, you know, shout out to Brian Studmer. You know, he had told me, like, when I first came back. So I took, you know, at one point, I had taken 4 years off of jiu-jitsu.
I remember seeing
You
you,
know,
because I
so
joined the
yeah,
gym when it
so
was Fight Club or something, I think. Not Fight
fit
Club.
to fight, yep,
Fit to Fight, and I had seen you. And I gotta tell you, by the way, and I hope you don't kill me for this, but you're the only person that's as strong as you are and as fucking bodybuilding like that you have, that has like equal or more flexibility than me. I had never met a guy at
Well, I have to
your
work at that a lot,
same here.
yeah, I have to work hard at that, but you know, I'd taken 4 years off. So, at the time when Fit to Fight ended, there was just a lot of gym drama and different things. And, you know, if I was really honest about it, I probably wasn't the, you know, doing jiu-jitsu to be the best version of myself. You know, I was in a different time period. So I decided to stop doing jiu-jitsu and ended up turning into a 4 year layoff. But when I came back and I competed, it was about maybe 6 months after I came back. and I brought my kids to jujitsu, and I decided to start training again, that I went and competed, you know. And in the gi, I really didn't get the results that I wanted, but in no gi, I beat a local brown belt. And I thought, you know, man, I really kind of want to make a run at this. And even back then, Brian was like, you know, I think that you can go win pants, you know, you should really focus on that. So, you
Nice.
know, I was out of shape. It really was not the person I wanted to be. So I trained really, really hard. And at the end of 2019, I competed at AGF Nationals in Tulsa, and I won double gold at AGF Nationals. And kind of fast forward, we get to you know, February of 2020, Kansas City Open. I go there,
IBJJF or
IBJJF, get through my division, win my division on points, and in the finals was a rep decision. The person I beat in the finals, after kind of hurting my knee that day, it was not a great match. I won a ref's decision off. Actually, I won it by an advantage off of that. For those who don't know, an advantage is kind of like a halfway point, you know, is really what it is.
And for the people listening, if
Yeah.
you don't know what AGF is, it's American Grappling Federation. It's a I would dare say probably one of the best, most affordable, I
Sure.
would dare
Yep.
say, and very well structured tournaments
Yep.
that they've been around since I've been competing since.
Yeah, if you get a chance, support them for sure.
Yeah,
They're
for sure.
great.
And then IBJJF is the International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation, which we're not going to talk ill about them. You know, that's the mafia. I mean, that's the jiu-jitsu main
Yeah.
people. Go ahead.
But you know, won the Kansas City Open, and then in the last match of the Kansas City Open in the absolute division or the open weight, you know, I finally just whooped this dude's ass really good, and I
Why?
tapped
Were you
him.
mad at him or?
No, it's just like finally I felt like, I told Brian after that, like, I would win my division, and Brian would be like, you just won your division, you should be happy. And it's like, no, I just don't feel like I'm doing out there, you know, what I do in the
At the gym.
gym. And then finally, I feel like in that last match, like the dam broke, you know, like all of a sudden it just, I got the finish I was looking for, won that match. And I was like, okay, that felt more like what I can do out there. And then I start training hard for PANS, which was supposed to be in March of 2020. And then what happened? Right. So pandemic hits, everybody is thrown for a loop. We don't know what's going on as far as competitions go. Fast forward, all of a sudden, halfway through the summer, they announced they're going to reschedule the Pan Am, so they're going to do it in Orlando in September, I think is when it was,
For pants?
for Pan
Oh,
Ams, which is
fuck.
months afterwards. Typically, you know,
That's
it's in
nogi
March.
season.
Yep. So we go out there, we do Pan Ams, and you know, I basically went out there, and you know, in my division, two finishes. Win my division, and then we go into the open weight. And in the open weight, the first match I had against, believe it or not, was in with the former head of the Republican Party of Arizona.
Wait, what?
Yes. Yeah.
The former,
Yeah.
hold on, let me pull
Yes.
this up. Former,
So
what year?
you can put Robert Graham as his name. Super nice guy. Like, and he was the only person that I did not
Republican, hold on.
Graham,
Yeah.
G-R-A-H,
Oh, GRAH.
Graham, Graham,
M. M, okay. What the fuck?
put in Republican or something like that,
Yeah,
they can
that's
find it.
just those key words that we all love. What in the ever living?
No idea what's
Yeah,
going on
it's
with yours.
fucking, it's, you know.
But in the open weight, he was my first match. And there he is right
This
there.
guy?
Yes, that guy. He was my
This
opponent.
dude?
And
Hold on, let me see an image of him. Bro,
he is
you
now a
fuck.
black belt. And he was the only guy that I didn't tap that day, actually, believe it or not. So he was actually
He's got
really good.
broad fucking shoulders,
Yep.
bro.
He was on the Bamba for sure, man. He was on the
You think
TRT.
so?
I do think so. He was jacked
Dude, look at
for
his
sure.
fucking shoulders, bro.
Super nice guy though, man. Like absolutely one of the nicest guys you can ever
He's a
imagine.
brown belt at that point, I
Yeah,
think.
well, at that point he's brown
Purple.
belt, but purple belt with me. And then so I didn't tap him. I beat him on points. And then the next round I went against a guy, Clint Felder, actually. I remember his name. Clint Felder was his name. Clintonia was his real name.
Clinton.
Really, yeah. Seriously. Again, a beast. Like super nice guy. He ended up winning Worlds the next year at brown belt.
Holy
But
fuck.
I went in and I tapped him, and And then this is probably I know we were talking about worlds. This is probably my favorite story to tell is that I beat Clint, and then the opponent that I had that was in the finals was the guy in Kansas City that I had only beat by an advantage, and it frustrated me because I wanted to put it on this guy really bad. And the night before, I said, "Hey," me and Brian had talked through it, and I said, "Hey, I want to, beat this guy. I know this is what he's going to do," and we kind of talked through it, and I got him in the finals. But his match had finished before mine, and the rest round was on me. So when you finish your match, whoever went last, they say, "Hey," they give you time to recover, so you're not tired. So I went out there, and I think it was about maybe 3 or 4 minutes. I beat this other guy, I tapped him, and then I stood up and I looked over, and my opponent was standing there, and the Brazilian ref said, "Jeffrey Hyen," they always say, because the R's is the H's, right? So they say,
Like Kyle calls me
"Jeffrey
Kyle.
Hyen." He goes, the 10 minutes arrest is on you." And I looked over at Brian. I was like, "I want to go right now." And he said, "Let's go right now then." And I told the ref, I said, "I don't need any rest. I want to go right now." And I looked over at my opponent, and my opponent said, "Are you sure? Are you sure you want to do that?" And I was like, "I'm good. Let's
Oh,
go right
he
now."
asked you, are you sure?
And I went out there, and on a minute and a half's rest, went out there and tapped him. I tapped him in a minute and a half, took
How'd
him
you catch
down,
him?
bread cutter choke.
Oh, fuck.
So
That's funny.
tapped him, and then that was Pan Am's, and then after that I was like, okay, I'm gonna get ready for Worlds. Well, unbeknownst to me, in between I didn't feel right. I got to Worlds, and
What do you mean you didn't feel right?
like my
Like,
body didn't feel right. I knew something was not right.
I get what you're
Something
saying.
was off. So I get to Worlds, and get in my division, and the very first match starts out like most of my matches do. I take my opponent down. He ended up standing back up, and I went for a trip, and then I ended up underneath him, and I'd already scored some points, so I ended up beating him on points, but it wasn't a great match. Next match was against the largest opponent I've ever went against, a huge guy. I ended up beating him on points. Finally, I took him down. He was probably, I don't want to exaggerate, but I mean, he was pushing 400 pounds, and he was a head taller than me. He was
Fuck.
enormous.
What are you, like 5'10", 5'11"?
5'11,
I was gonna say
good day,
5'11",
on a
yeah.
good day,
On a good
right?
day.
A good day.
If it's not too cold outside, with this heat wave, you're like 6 feet probably.
But tough. And then the last match was against a good opponent, and I beat him on points too. So, I didn't submit anybody in my division. Went into the open weight. By the time I got in the open weight, they had kind of delayed everything throughout the day. So I'd kind of been like, sweating on and off for hours. And even though I tried to stay hydrated, I was starting to get dehydrated.
And it's those sweats that you're not, you can tell. I get what you're
So
saying.
I ended up in the first match, had a smaller opponent, beat him on points, and then I tapped the next two guys, and I won double gold at Worlds. But that was the first time I ever left a tournament feeling like feeling like terrible, like where Zach Rodemeyer, shout out to him, had to kind of help me out the door. And I was shaking and stuff, like my electrolytes were completely gone. I felt terrible. And but I knew that sometime between Pans and Worlds, like I just didn't feel right. Like felt like I was missing a gear. I had still won. I still got a good result, but I didn't feel like myself. Like I didn't feel good. I'd been gaining weight, not really understanding why I was. And then after that, I basically suffered with that for a year probably
What
afterwards.
was it?
And I found out I had a bunch of food allergies, man. And I had allergies that were
Oh.
affecting me. And I had gained a bunch of weight, and I didn't feel right. And I'd hired a nutrition coach, and it wasn't really doing anything for me. And once I found out I had those food allergies, I was super allergic to eggs, super allergic to cheddar cheese, super allergic to dairy stuff, which now dairy doesn't bother me as much, but I still don't eat eggs at all.
So it was, it's one of those things as you get older, kind of sort of
I
where
don't know,
you'll,
man. I don't know what it
because
was,
for
but
me, I'm allergic to high fructose corn syrup. Like deadly allergic, deadly allergic.
So I have what's called an IgG response, which is kind of like a time delayed response. But yeah, as soon as I stopped eating that
All that
stuff,
stuff, yeah.
I lost 65 pounds without even trying. Like dropped down, felt different. Within a week, I stopped taking allergy medicine. I didn't have to take seasonal allergy medicine at all anymore. Within a week, I had in that year, next year, I ended up winning Nogi Pans at brown belt, but I did it with a severe tear in my abdomen. And I thought it was a groin pull, but it was a very bad tear. And then after I won that, I competed one more time, and then I was off for months, letting that recover. But it still hurt. It was healed, but it still hurt really bad. And within a week of stopping, eating that stuff, the pain went away and never came back. But it was a
Yeah,
freaky,
it's
kind of a
yeah, no,
freaky thing to deal with, but
it's one of those things that Dan, like I was telling you
yeah.
earlier, Dan, we talked to him
Yeah.
about that stuff,
Yeah.
and I was like, dude, there's no way, because it's just food.
Yeah.
He goes, the very same way, how is it that he said it? Because we had him a while back.
Yeah.
It was something along the lines of like the very same way that you don't put diesel in a, four
Yeah.
cylinder car,
Yeah.
you don't want to do that to your body.
Yeah.
And once I understood that, like, I'm allergic to high fructose corn syrup, tomatoes,
Yeah.
unfortunately, cherry tomatoes, for some reason, I'm not. Cherry tomatoes I can eat, and I still don't know what it is. I personally think it's like pesticide shit, and we clean our
Yeah.
stuff, and our water is filtered with a whatever the fuck. But yeah, dude, it's really weird
Yeah.
how when you eliminate certain things, and think about it that way, like, you figured that out, how many people are eating, Mickey D's and all these other things, that it's like, bro, like,
But
craziness.
I guess to go back to your original question, going through and winning something of that magnitude or putting yourself out there, if you do it enough, you kind of get to the point where you go through the same routine every time. Like
Yeah.
most of the time, by the time I get out there and walk up now with my opponent, I'm not nervous at that point. I've went through the roller coaster of emotions that you go through. You really start like in a, okay, I'm gonna do this, and then you go through this time period of this self-doubt where you're like, yeah, well, do I have what it takes to beat this person? Do I have what it takes to get out there and compete? And then you kind of push through it, and then you kind of go through this roller coaster. And then for me, leading up to it, it used to be like a couple weeks beforehand, I'd start getting nervous thinking about it all the time, and then it got to the point where I really wouldn't think about it at all anymore. And then you get to the day of, and you may have a little thing, but by the time I get out there, I feel like my mind is always as clear as water. Like it's
Yeah.
just, I know what I'm out there to do. I'm calm. I know what it feels like at this point. I know what it feels like to lock up with somebody that's going 100%. And yeah, man. But I mean, the truth is, like, when you go out there, there's maybe only 10 or 20% of the people that show up that really are there to win. A
Really?
lot of people, in my opinion, are there just to get the free t-shirt that you get when you sign up for the
And a
event.
couple
Like,
pictures so
couple
they can
pictures,
post
man.
one gold in my division. There
Yeah.
was no one else,
Yeah.
but.
I don't ever like to go compete unless I'm out there to win, man. Like, I'm in a time period right now where I don't have the time to dedicate to it. People want to ask the question and go, what does it take to be a good competitor? And I want to do what you did. And it's like, okay, well, I still lifted weights 3 or 4 days a week. I still conditioned every day of the week. And by Wednesday, I would have 7 jiu-jitsu sessions in by Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I'd finish the week with 9 or 10 sessions of jiu-jitsu, plus the lifting, plus the conditioning, plus all of that. That's what I would do when I was in that mode. And that's kind of like my baseline. So if I can't do that, I really don't want to compete. I don't feel like I'm giving my opponent the most. Like I did a
Yeah.
couple of matches this summer, one ref's decision, one of them I lost, I got tapped. But I never got a chance to really train the way that I normally do.
Yeah.
I think it'd be different if I was in that competition swing. But in 2021, I tore my abdomen, and then in 2022, I ruptured my bicep tendon and had surgery and was out. So I haven't been able to be in the same clip that I was back then. It's just been kind of a road for me, I
Yeah,
guess.
and that's the thing, is like I've come to discover, like, for me personally, like I have like a couple injuries that I'm dealing with right now, and like back in the day I used to just not say anything because I just didn't want anybody to like know. And I think growing at the gym for the past 10 years, what I've learned is that, man, like, we have it really good. Like, I really mean this, is I don't think people really understand how good we have it at our gym, that I can go with someone and go, hey man, I have a hernia, for example, right?
Yeah.
Oh brother, where? Well, okay, well, hey man, let's just start here, let's just move, And that person just, hey man, I need to get a sweat on, so I don't want to stop moving, but let's just keep it on this flow chart and we can do that. Whereas I've been to other gyms and it's like, let's just knock heads and fucking lock horns. And it's like, yeah, that works for some people, but you just have to have more repetitions, man. I feel like that's the key. And it's nice hearing it from someone like you, because I always like, I'm the type of person that I like to look at things and I go, what's the highest level of person doing? And the first thing, I knew you were going to say, obviously, getting as many reps. But for a minute, I thought you were going to be like, you know, Richard, you need to pray a lot to Jesus and get a lot of acai. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be my next
fruits
question.
And veggies, man.
Fruits and veggies? Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. That's interesting. What's your favorite like type of fruit that you eat?
Oh, man.
Please don't say watermelon.
No watermelon. Jeez, I don't know. That's a tough question, man.
For me personally, it's grapes, really?
Grapes, man. Grapes.
Really?
I'd need some grapes and some pineapple, dude. That'll do it for me.
Watermelon, pineapple, and apples.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's my thing. And mandarin oranges.
And that's what I describe my diet. Fruit, meat, repeat. It's basically how I eat, dude.
Yeah. I'm up to that point where like I think I'm down to like 85 grams of carbs a day that I don't feel like I want to murder somebody. Because that's like what it is for me. The problem I had was, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but like one of the problems I had is I had a bad relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
And I just came to realize like I can eat as long as I'm eating within these parameters. And I feel like that's not really, because I fucking hate the word diet. It's just change your food habits.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and
yeah,
every
I eat
now
as
and
much
then,
as I want. I just eat only certain things now.
Yep.
And I don't. You know, I don't really count calories, really, that sort of thing. You know, I eat as much, like, and it's fresh fruit. You know, I eat as much stuff. I don't really eat a lot of processed food, and makes it super easy to
do
that.
It's the biggest problem.
I can eat as much as I want, man. I just don't, you know. Although I did have some tacos today.
What kind of tacos? Wait,
Tinga tacos.
What?
Tinga tacos. Downtown Springfield.
You know what Tinga?
I don't know what it
is,
man.
Are you fucking with me?
Tinga tacos, man.
Tinga?
Look it up.
Are you being serious? It's called Tinga.
If I messed it up, I'm sorry to the owner of the taco.
Hold on. Okay, yeah.
That's Chinese.
I was going to say, yeah.
Tinga
is Chinese. That's why I was going to say.
Tinga.
Oh, Tinga.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, right there.
I said,
the
language guy just fucked up the word.
Tinga tacos, man.
Not your average taco
man, they
stop.
Were, man. They were phenomenal. They
were they?
Good.
What's your? Let's share this right here. Hopefully they don't flag us, which they never do. Yeah. Dinga tacos.
Tinga
what are
tacos
dinga tacos made out of?
Amazing.
Chicken tinga is a dish from Puebla. Okay.
And the chicken tinga taco was amazing.
You keep saying that word in the way you're saying it.
Amazing.
It sounds like you're saying binga, and I'm like, Jeff,
binga.
Are you fucking
tinga.
With me?
Tinga.
Tinga.
Hey, look at this website.
Tinga tacos.
Man.
Let me see.
They
this is
were great,
beautiful.
Man. They were good, man. Their chips were good. They had some kind of seasoning on them. They were awesome. Loved it.
Really? This is downtown?
You know it's
they
good if
cater?
You know it's good if my kids will eat it, man. Like that's.
Oh, your kids? Really?
Yeah.
I gotta take my kid
it.
There. The double deuce.
So I had the cow tipper over there. That
okay.
was a great one. The crusher is just your normal.
The black beans is
but
the only
she,
thing. I'm not
the lady working there was like, I like the soft shell taco, but man, I was more of a fan of their hard shell. It was amazing.
So is there an old lady cooking in the back or?
No, it was like college kids, man. You know,
college kids, okay.
Like guys that were like pretty young. I don't think they could grow beards yet or anything like that.
Well, shout out to them, dude. I'm gonna have to try them out. I go to the one across the street from here. Oh my God. We just had that today too. I can't fucking recall the name. Taqueria Cachanilla. Cachanilla is what
I
it's
can't
called.
Even say it better.
Cachanilla?
I'm not trying, dude. I'm not trying it, dude. I'm not even gonna try it.
There it is right there. Yeah, this spot right
oh,
here.
Oh yeah, I've seen the sign before.
Bro, it's so good. It's pretty phenomenal. They're always packed though, is the problem.
Yeah, I mean maybe I mean Tinga tacos look like it was a bunch of like white college kids, so I'm not sure if that's the
listen, man.
The most authentic, but it was good, man. I would
maybe
eat there again
yeah,
for
as
sure.
Long as it's clean and as long as it's you know, they're not putting in like a bunch of crap. Like when I eat tacos and stuff like that, dude, If I see you start putting kimchi on a taco, I will jump across that fucking goddamn counter and smack you, idiot.
We had tried that place that was like Korean tacos in town, and that was not.
There's a place in town.
Yeah, I don't want to say their name.
Don't say the name. I didn't know that. Someone really. I said that. I said that jokingly.
No, it was a Korean taco. They had kimchi on their tacos, man. And it was
I mean, listen. If that's your thing, that's fine. But I can't believe you're not fucking with me, right? There really was a place in town.
Korean taco joint.
That's it. I like Korean food.
You ever been to Japan?
Yes.
Did you ever try the taco rice that they had over there?
I did not. When I went to Japan, I went for just very brief period, and how do I want to say this? Because my wife listens to it, and so does my dad. I'll just say it. I don't remember much. I remember the third day that I was there.
Too much sake over there, or what?
I met two chicks.
Oh,
and they just wanted to go hang out.
Yeah,
and I don't remember much. I know that they were with me the whole time, and I ended
so
up from.
I was in Okinawa visiting relatives that were stationed over there, but they had. We went to the mall, and they had a food court, and you know, at that point, I'd eaten so much sushi, I'd had enough. Like it was just too much at that point. Like, and I like sushi a lot, but it was like way too much.
You can't eat it every
day. So they're like, "Oh, over here they have Mexican food. They have this stuff called taco rice," and I was like, "This is like their the Japanese version of Mexican food." And I started eating it, and I was like, "I think the sauce is off. It tastes like ketchup." And he's like, "No, it is ketchup." He said, the Mexican food, they just don't quite understand how to make it over here. And I was like, why did you feed this to me? My brother-in-law, you know? Yeah, it was not great. But yeah, Okinawa taco rice is what it was.
Oh my God. Hold on. He gave you fucking.
But it was garbage. Yeah, it was terrible. It didn't look like that. It didn't look like that. But it was nasty. It was not good.
What the fuck?
The best thing in Okinawa, though, is they had some kind of a purple sweet potato that they made, like, desserts out of.
Yes.
That was phenomenal. I have no idea what it was, but it was so good.
Hold on.
I'd be 8,000 pounds if I lived over there, because I would eat that every day.
Right there. Yeah, Murasaki tart. It's a tart. Tart.
It was so freaking good.
It's a tart. They shred it. They do it shredded, and then they dry it out. Yeah, I was in Tokyo Central for a few days. Well, that's where I landed. And then somehow I ended up in Kyoto, where like there's a lot of like history there. Not that I went sightseeing. And I got a capsule hotel. I don't know if you ever been in one of those. Yeah, they're super nice. I went, it was like $15 a night.
And we stayed on the Air Force Base, and we, you know, we kind of just went around Okinawa and saw the island. And I was like, take me to where they filmed Karate Kid. And they said, oh, that was actually filmed in Hawaii. And I was like, freaking kidding me. I don't get to see any of the filming locations. Like, this is BS, man. I wanted to see where the Bone Festival was at and all that stuff. Yeah, that's garbage.
The best Bone time. Dance. Bro, the best time to go to Japan is when the cherry blossoms, like in the spring, when the cherry blossoms start to come out that week. I've never been. I have friends who have gone during that time. I lived in Korea for over a year and a half. And Korea was just, South Korea, obviously, was.
Oh, you weren't staying with Kim Jong over there?
Nah, bro. Me and him aren't cool like that, you know. I wish, even though we have I don't know if you heard about this, the soldier that deserted. You haven't heard about this?
No.
So there's a soldier from the army that he deserted his post, which is, you know, he abandoned his post, and he ran across the DMZ to North Korea. And apparently he said that the reason he did that was because the U.S. Army is very racist. And my first thought of that was, do you know what the fuck they do to people in North Korea?
Yeah.
And yeah, he literally, you never heard of this, has been all over the news. Army soldier crosses. When I was there, we had a lot of
I've not heard anything about this.
When I was there, we had Travis King.
Travis King.
North
Come
Korea.
On, Travis. What the heck, man?
Fucking try. Yeah. He said that the army's very racist were his exact words. And I was like, well, bro, you have not Mr. Great Life reports from KCNA, DPRK, the public, yeah, Department of Republic of Korea authorities are responsible for child's well-being, and she continues to appeal to them to humanely. She's a mom worried about her son. I love how they always bring, like, the fa listen, first of all, I don't want to downplay it, but it's like, bro, you done.
Yeah, that was not a good move.
That was not like out of all the places you could have ran somewhere else, bro. You ever been
Sure.
to the DMZ?
No.
It
No
is,
thanks.
it's, oh, dude, I know of people that used to go there and they would just moon the North Korean guards or they would flip them off and shit like that. And then in 2012, they were like, hey, we don't know who's doing this. But you need to do this because they sent a letter saying that they feel offended about what they're doing. I'm like, I'm offended about the human rights violation.
Oh yeah,
So, you know, but it's really creepy because you see them.
it's
Like,
heavy.
you can
Yeah.
see them at the end of it. And it's like, bro, all it would take is just for one motherfucker to just be that dumb. And that would be it.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and the thing with South Korea, too, I don't know if you know this, is I think like over half of or a quarter of South Korea is still militarized. There's still landmines from when we went to war. There's still spots that, if that was ever to like get demilitarized, I think Korea would probably make a shit ton of money,
Yeah.
like a shit ton of money,
Oh,
bro.
sure.
It's in Korea's like they have like one jujitsu guy there. His name's John Frank, who I trained there for a little bit. But besides that, man, judo, taekwondo, karate, like traditional karate and stuff, and that's their thing over there, bro. But it's a beautiful country. South Korea is, they don't have shirts for anybody above a medium. I will tell you this right now.
So I'm
You will not find clothes for yourself.
Yeah,
You will not find clothes. Like, I remember
I'll
I was like 185, 190
so I
pounds.
can't find a sick Legion of Doom
They're
homage shirt.
not
Shout out to
big for me.
homage.com,
So who
Richard.
is that? Homage?
Homage.com.
Shout out. Hold on. Let's see who this is. Let's talk about her.
Homage has the best t-shirts on the planet,
Shout out,
period.
really? What
Yes,
is
they
this?
do.
Hold on, let's share this.
They really do.
Let's share
Homage
this.
is phenomenal.
What's this? Take 15%. Okay.
But homage, if you go up
Buy
to
three.
shop, go up to shop up there and go down to WWE.
Oh, this is the. Okay, I
This is
was
where I
trying to figure
get
out if that was a wrestling thing.
all of my wrestling shirts at right here.
Oh, shit. Look at that one.
Look at that one, dude.
Yeah.
Keep scrolling down. Look at that. The Undertaker, the American Badass shirt. Bret Hart. I mean, gosh, man. These are just take my money now,
All right,
homage.
let's pause right there.
Macho Man.
You have to explain to me what the fuck this is, because I have never
Listen,
seen.
man, the
I
WWE professional wrestling, I grew up on this stuff, man. Like,
Okay.
this is probably why I like grappling so much. Like, you've not watched professional wrestling? It's huge in Puerto Rico. What are you talking about, dude?
We have
There's
something else.
Puerto
Puerto
Rican
Rico, we
wrestling.
yeah, Puerto Rican wrestling. Yeah, something
Same thing, dude, just different, right?
it always looked really weird to me. Like, it's
Well,
just,
it's scripted, right? You
yeah,
know, it's
and
like
I'm
a soap
completely
opera
aware,
for adults,
but
basically.
still, like, they have to maintain, I'm assuming that they have to maintain that body physique
Oh, there's some
for how,
fatties that wrestle, man, for sure.
yeah, but still, they're getting slammed like that. Like, I don't think that's good on your body, the way
Probably
that,
not, no.
yeah, that's the thing that, like,
A lot of them die young. I mean, there was just, what, 2 days ago, a 36-year-old WWE guy
Yes,
died,
yeah.
Bray Wyatt.
From what? What do they die normally of?
I mean, with him, they said it had something to do with COVID damaging his heart, is what they said, and he had a heart attack.
As
That's
in COVID the vaccine or COVID the
I
disease?
don't know. I don't want
And
to get Pfizer's listening in.
we'll
You know, that,
respectfully move on from
yeah, I'm going to
that
move
one.
on from that one. I'm not going to speculate.
No, there's been a lot of myocarditis issues with people who had COVID and stuff
Yeah.
like that. That's one of the things that like really concerned me because we caught it. We caught COVID the week that iHeartRadio like put the podcast on. And this is like when iHeart 2 years ago they started taking
Oh, yeah.
podcasts and we got on and I was like, oh my God, we're on, this is so cool. And that fucking week I got COVID. And I had to like, and I was like, the only thing that I got was my blood pressure would spike, and it was like I would move and I would just feel tired. Like I wouldn't be able to do this. Like I would just feel so fucking tired. That was like the only thing that
Yeah, I
happened.
think I caught it at the very beginning, man. Like, honestly, I know they say patient zero was like in Seattle, like in Jan the end of January, but I was sick at the beginning of December of 2020. And it was actually a New Year's. I went to bed and I woke up, I had a fever for 4 or 5 days straight.
Wait, a fever of what? Like 101,
It's like
two?
102, something like that, for like 5 days straight, longest I'd ever had one.
God, no.
I
That'll.
developed a cough, but I remember specifically telling my wife, I said, "This is the weirdest flu I've ever had. I'm not congested at all.
It's just.
Like I can breathe through my nose and stuff, but like I just have this cough and I feel terrible, my body aches." And I called the hospital to do like a telemedicine thing. And I said, "Do I need to come in for a flu test?" And they said, "Oh no, honey, you don't have the flu. You have some other virus, but we don't know what it is yet. Just take Benadryl. It'll dry all that out, and you'll recover in X amount of days." So that was like the first, time of, dealing with that. And then at the end, I think I got it again. And that was awful, man. I coughed so much, like I coughed up blood and everything else, man. It was pretty awful at
Yeah,
that
the
point.
second time, I mean, not the
But
second time, we caught the flu this year in January. Well, everybody, I think like 90% of everybody in town had the flu. But dude, I hadn't been sick in a while. I hadn't been sick in like 2 years since 2020. And like I had like a, oh yeah, I've never told this on the air. Eric had to come check on me because I was having fever from 102 to 104, and it was like lasting all day, and I was so dehydrated that I was hallucinating. And
What did you see?
have you do you know like when your body's hallucinating, like have you ever like dealt with that?
I don't know that I have.
You probably have, you just have never been aware of it. So for me, right, when my body's when I'm sleep deprived, the first thing that happens is I feel that everything hones in. And that's just your fight or flight kicking in. Like for me, it's like I hone in and I look at everything and everything slows down. When I'm, it's really bad, which like I remember one time we did 10 shows in a span of 3 days and I slept maybe 2 hours in between the days because we would finish a show and then we had Adam Gable here, which shout out to Adam, and we'd go right with Adam. He's like, no. Try to tell it like this. Okay, try to say it like this. Do this face. Oh, okay. And I remember that last day I was driving, and for me, this is gonna sound really dumb, I'll see like fairies, like what I call fairies. It's like a white orb that just sits there, and I swear to you, I can hear it trying to say something. And like the first time I caught it was when I was in the army. I did a ruck march, and it was like 21 miles, and like mile 19, I started like hallucinating. And I was like, oh, I'm hallucinating. Okay, I just have to keep going. And then I woke up and I was in the hospital. But that's what I mean by like hallucinating when you just train so much and stuff like that. You've probably experienced it. Eric says that when he's sleep deprived like that, he just doesn't, things go in and out. Like sound goes in and out. He'll be hearing me talk and then it'll be like this every now like that. And that's when he knows he's like, oh, I'm sleep deprived. My brain is fucking crashing. But that's what I mean by that. But nothing to, I've heard of people who they see like fairies too. Like, and I call it fairies because it's just like a fluffy white ball that's like right here. No matter where I look, it's like right there. It's always in my
Do you
corner.
look at it? Oh, you don't watch American movies. If you watch Hook,
Hook?
you've never
What's,
watched Hook with Robin Williams?
oh,
Peter Pan
the Peter
movie.
Pan movie.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes,
So you
yes,
look at him
yes.
and go bangarang? Is that what you say
Like,
to him? Is that what you say to him, Richard?
why you gotta make it dirty, bro?
Is that what you do?
It's like,
Bangarang?
no. Does that, did, do you know, like, why is it that I never watched a bunch of American movies? Like, have you heard the story at the gym?
No. What
Have you
is.
been around when that happens at the gym?
No.
So, the thing was at the gym was when I was with the competition team, you know how it is. You're, it's like a family. You all go eat, y'all go watch a movie together.
Yeah.
And I remember one time we were out of town and someone said, what was the movie? Hey, let's watch, it's a Travolta movie. Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction. Someone was like, let's watch Pulp Fiction. And I'm like, oh, what's Pulp Fiction? And Fucking Brian just fucking looked at me. What the fuck did you just say? And I was like, what's Pulp Fiction? And like, I'm gonna ask you because I'd rather ask you and look stupid than not ask and be stupid, you know? So that's when like that started. And like now I have like a list that it's just like two movies now that I haven't seen, which is Speed.
Oh, nice.
No, the first one I've seen. I love Keanu. Speed 2, and then it's another classic. Oh, it was My Girl that Trey told me to fucking watch.
It's garbage, dude.
And he was like, no, it's a good movie. It's like it's a drama. You'll love it. I love romantic drama movies or romantic comedies. Like 40 Days, 40 Nights. You ever seen that one?
Yes.
Love that movie. That's the type of movies I like. And I watched a movie, and halfway through the movie, I'm like, man, this is just really sad.
It
And then
is.
the ending happened, and
Yeah.
I texted Trey and I go, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
But I just never seen, because like most of the movies that I've seen from the US, I've seen them in Spanish. So I have to rewatch them. Like, I rewatch all the
Yeah, have you
Matrix
seen that?
movies.
I saw a meme where it was, I think it was Sting, like the singer from The Police, and it said Sting, and then it was a picture of Macaulay Culkin from My Girl. It said Stung. Have you watched that? Yeah. On there. Like it was yeah. Yeah, it was kind of bad
Oh.
actually. Yeah.
Yeah, movies just, it's, you know, man, here's what it is, and most people have never asked me. It's just growing up in my house, there wasn't really a lot of time given to, like, you know, fuck around a lot. It was more like, okay, if you're gonna do something, you need to be learning something and you need to be practicing your English. And like those movies just, I think part of my problem was because I didn't grow up with the dialect and the culture, I didn't understand it, you know? Does that make sense?
Yep.
So like a lot of times, you know, like what was that Keanu movie? Breakpoint, I think, or some shit like that. Like I
Point
remember
Break.
point, yeah. I remember watching that movie in like the 90s and like not getting it. Because I just didn't comprehend why are we making a movie about a dude, like, because my dad used to do that stuff. So to me, it's like, why are we making a movie about real life? Like, I want to see, if I want to see a movie, I want to see a fantasy. I want to see a dude trying to fuck an alien and fighting a demon. Like, that's sort of the stuff. And that was a horrible comparison. Oh, thank you.
So, did you know, and I think we've talked about this, that I grew up in an area with a ton of Puerto Rican people.
If you're
Did you
about
know
to
that?
make a Joe Biden joke, I swear
No,
to
I'm
God, I will
not.
hit you with this
I'm
bottle
not, man.
instead.
Shout out to South Lorain, Ohio. Tons. One of my best friends in the whole world is half Puerto Rican, half Puerto
Really?
Rican, half Irish. He actually looks more like Harold Ramis when he does Puerto Rican. Sorry, Bob, if somehow you end up seeing this podcast, but
That's
yeah, man,
fucking crazy.
half Puerto Rican. His mom is from Puerto Rico,
Yeah.
and we would get her mad enough where she would always say "Adios mio." She'd get mad, and
Hey, yo, mio.
yeah, she would
Yeah.
sip
With
and
the
say that
exhale.
right.
Yeah.
And we had a ton of Puerto Rican people growing up there. Another kid I grew up with in school, it was a good friend of mine. His name was Robbie Arona, was his last name. Super talented artist, has a company that does like website design and stuff like that, graphic design. And I think he's in Pittsburgh now, but yeah, tons of Puerto Rican people there. What do you
Yeah,
feel about
man,
that, you know?
Puerto Rico, it's just, it's not even the corruption, man. Like, it's not even that. It's just, there's just no fucking opportunities, bro. Like, there just isn't. And I use this analogy with a family member. They were like, oh, you know, it's not that bad here. I go, no, yes, it is. Because when if you think that, this is what everybody says, and this is something that I learned, like, the gym helped me a lot, was I grew up very differently. Because like for me, we would be talking and I'd be like, they're like, Richard, what would you do when you cut class? I'd go to the beach, just like surf a little, or like if it wasn't surfing season, we'd just throw a board and just paddle and have a couple beers. And people were like I remember I told this to my wife one time and she goes, fuck you. It's like, why? Like, do you guys not go to the lake or something? And she would just like, fuck you. And like the culture there is different. Like Andy, shout out to Andy Chutamela. He went to Puerto Rico for like a week or two.
Yeah.
And I did like a threat assessment. What I do for some clients is they'll come to me, they go, hey, I'm going to Puerto Rico. Can you help me plan a trip? And I'll say, hey, yeah, these are the pockets you want to stay out of. These are some places that you can eat, that they have a good health standard, yada yada. And I told Andy, I go, let me know how you like it. And he brought back a delicious bottle of rum. And I asked him, I go, hey, the week or 2 weeks that you were there, how much TV did you watch? He goes, you know, man, I'd look at the weather, but that was it. And I go, now imagine doing that for 18 years.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I didn't watch TV, but when I would watch TV, I'll be honest, it was like Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, maybe like a Dungeons and Dragons sort of thing. But it's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. And you, for training purposes, I personally think that there will come a time, and I hope I'm right, there will come a time that some big wig BJJ guy's gonna go down there. He's gonna be there for 8 years, and then he's gonna bring monsters. When I'm talking about monsters, I'm talking monsters. Because think about it. It is 70 to 95 all year long. All year long, even during the holidays. The humidity, you can adjust to that. You can run every day. You have fresh food every day. GMOs are banned. So the food, they're like, I can drink Coca-Cola back home. I can actually go to the fountain and get Coca-Cola because I know that it's not going to fuck me up. The water is fucking phenomenal. So for you to train, if you're a guy that you just want to train, you can just buy food, go down there, make your own little team. Go down there for like a few years, bro, and you're gonna train some monsters. Because the humidity alone, when you come over, bro, like you're and running on the beach, bro. That's what I did before joining the army, and I never want to do that again. To be
Yeah.
completely honest with you, it's not fun, and I think that it's just an untapped resource to train. I think one of the Paul brothers, Jake or Logan, I'm not very familiar with their stuff, but I think they have like a
Yeah,
gym
they're
over there.
actually, what's funny, I don't know anything about them either, but they actually grew up in the town right next to the town that I grew up in. So I'm originally from Avon, Ohio, and they grew up in Westlake, Ohio, which is they actually touch different counties, but the towns actually touch each other.
They are an interesting group of people. All I knew about him when I first heard about him was the Japanese incident. That's how I originally heard about him, and I was like, my first thought was, yeah, that's disrespectful, but at the same time, it's like not everybody's gonna have a reaction to seeing a dead body for the first time.
Yeah.
Like everybody has. I've seen people who giggled when they saw their first dead body.
Weird.
It's because it's a fight or flight, man.
Yeah.
Like when I get mad or like when shit's gonna happen, I just smile at you. Like that's my thing. Or when people get stupid with
That's
me, I
the
just smile.
weird thing about jiu-jitsu, right? Is that it puts people in the fight or flight mode,
Every day.
you know, every single day
Yeah.
that you're doing it. So some people
Yeah.
react differently. You see some people like embrace it, and somebody who looks like, you know, their captain of the chess club ends up being a total badass
Look
within a
at
year,
Mikey.
you know?
Look
Yeah,
at
I
yeah.
mean, and then
Yeah.
you have other people that come in from other sports that were really, really good football players, or really, really good at basketball, or, you know, even some wrestlers come in, and when they get put on their back and held down and somebody's strangling them, they can't handle it, you know, and they end up never coming back. You know, we've
It's an
seen that
ego
happen a
thing,
bunch of
though.
times, you
It's
know.
an ego thing, because you know that as well as I do. It's like,
Sure.
it's an ego, because you and I
Sure.
have rolled, and it's like, obviously,
Sure.
we know how that role goes. Like, I'm
Yeah, I get
not.
crushed recently.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
Don't lie to me on my own
I get beat
podcast.
every time.
Shut the fuck up. No, but that's the point is like, I think in the beginning for me, it was like that. And now I look at it like, ooh, this is going to be interesting. Like, I'm not, it's not about fear. It's about of like, how am I going to solve this problem,
Yeah.
right? How am I gonna solve that problem? How am I gonna solve that problem? That's how I look at it. Cause it's like if you try to look at it with like your ego, I've come to learn like that, man. You'll see dudes like the Meow Brothers. You see those dudes and you're like, look at this fucking
Yeah.
this 150-pound, what the fuck is this gonna do? And that dude will elbow you in the face and throw you on
Yeah,
your head.
I had, you know, watched fights for a while, and I had researched jiu-jitsu enough to realize that, you know, coming in when I first, very, very first started, it was the day my son was born, actually, the very first day that I did jiu-jitsu. My son came a month early, and I was talking to my wife about jiu-jitsu in the delivery room, actually, but, I had, you know, kind of got hooked on it, but I had studied enough that I expected when I went in, if, you know, I could beat all these guys up, why would I pay them money to teach me how to do anything? And that was my attitude, which has always served me well. But yeah, you get guys that come in that are just like, really frustrated that they lift weights or they're very strong and they can't do a thing, and somebody that's 70 pounds, 100 pounds less than them is just messing them up the entire time. And some people don't react well to that. Some people act really poorly to that,
It's again,
I've
it's
had
their
people
ego.
try to, one time there was a guy who was a wrestler and I tapped him and I stood up and I heard somebody yell his name and say, "Don't do it." And he was behind me with his fist clenched and was going to punch me in the back of the head. And they stopped him from doing it. Like I've had that reaction. I've had different things. But I feel like I've grown. When I first did jiu-jitsu, it was so much different. In Missouri, we were years behind. Missouri's ahead of a lot of states and a lot of regions as far as jiu-jitsu. Like, I mean,
And wrestling.
we've had black belts in Missouri for quite a while. I mean, JW
Yeah.
Wright, Rodrigo Vaggi, he was in St.
The
Louis,
UFC got Kyle.
I don't
Kyle
know.
Watson.
Kyle
Kyle Watson was in
Watson,
the
so
UFC.
there's been black belts
Yeah.
for a long time. But when I started, if somebody had a purple belt, it was like, oh my gosh, this person's a purple belt. And we didn't know any better. So we would, anybody that came through the door, it was like, oh, they need to be tough enough to hang. So we would just crush each other, I can't imagine how many people probably have quit jiu-jitsu because of me, and I feel really bad about that. So, nowadays I really try to take people under my wing and treat them right and make sure that they know, but we didn't know any better. We thought, hey, this is a combat sport. You just need to be tough. And back then it was like kill or be killed all the time. But, there was only 10 of us that trained, like there wasn't 200 students like we have now, it was 10 of
Yeah,
us,
I remember when I first went to the gym. Actually, I remember what got me into jiu-jitsu was we were in Iraq, and I saw this dude named Jason Powell, and he was working out. He had like a couple of MMA fights and stuff. I think he was like a purple belt at that time. And this is in like 2008. And I never forget, I was at the gym and I was running. And I'm like, I'm just gonna run like 6 miles, just go like a 10-minute pace, just watch a movie, hopefully we don't get attacked. And I was watching, because I'm in the running mill here and I'm watching, and they pull out some mats, and Jason goes, "All right, guys, you know the drill. No punches or strikes. If you want to do that, go ahead and put some gloves on. If you want to throw punches, just let me know. Just if I see you with gloves on, I'm assuming you want to throw hands." And he choked 16 people in 5 minutes. He choked them, all of them, all of them with ease. And I remember seeing that and I was like, what the fuck? How? And he like showed like a couple of things like, hey, this is an arm drag, And I was like, that shit don't fucking work. Like, whatever. And now it's like arm drags have, I mean, I've used arm drags as a MP. I had people that like, they start going like this. And I'd be like, "Hey, ma'am, sir, ma'am." It's like, all right, let's calm down. But dude, you never know. And like when I started at the gym, I was the only white belt for like 4 months. So I would just show up every day, and my mentality was, "All right, let's see what I'm gonna learn today." But I remember like when we started getting people, I was like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna be nice to them." And that's one thing that I've learned over the years with like our association is like. When someone new comes in, I'm not really trying to choke you or submit you. I'm just trying to control you. Yeah, I just want to like, oh, I swept you very easily, because you know how it is, man. Some people they put their feet in like a
Yeah, I
weird
just try
angle
to
and
keep from somebody who's new and spazzy from elbowing me in the face or doing something
yeah,
like that,
man,
like I try
especially the elbows, bro.
to calm down and, try to make it a good experience for them, a good experience for me
Do you feel it's just like your size? Because you've always been very kind and sweet ever since I've met you.
Man, I don't know what it is. I always try to be a good training partner. I mean, you don't wanna, most people don't realize that, when I'm going against them, I'm probably not going that hard, to be honest.
Yeah.
There are some people in the gym, the upper belts that are gonna push me and make me have to open up and really try hard. But, if I'm rolling with the white belt, I'm probably going 50%. I'm keeping it
Yeah.
low so they can work and do other things. There's no reason. Put
And that's
myself
a
in bad
smart thing.
positions,
Yeah.
and it makes them better, it makes me better, but the goal should always be to make everybody the best training partner.
What I've tried to do is what Kyle said to me one time in 2017. I went over there and I stayed there for a month and a half. And I remember one time I was rolling with Yuri, and he goes, "You're so tense. Like, why are you like, you're so tense? It makes your moves very predictable." And Kyle looked at me and he goes, "Don't use strength." He goes, "Don't use strength at all. Even if you get tapped, don't ever use strength." And like ever since then, what I do is I have a thing where like I try to go to the gym 2 to 4 times. Like this week I hit it twice. And my goal is don't use any strength, roll as long as you can, but move. And like I always, unless I'm training like for example, like, and this is something that we've incorporated at our gym that if anybody's listening, you should too. If I'm rolling with you, for example, and it's like, hey, Jeff is getting ready for Worlds next week, right? Okay, then all I'm gonna do is just follow your game plan and try to stop. Try to find a spot that you pause or freeze because I've shown a problem to you, like with Fogel. That happened with Fogel me on Friday. Yeah, on Friday, because I picked up Jalen. Every time I put Fogel in the heap, I notice that he gets frustrated. Like he goes, and like, body language is easy to read when you're fighting someone. And I just put him there and it's like, okay, and like help you, what's the word I'm looking for? Not help you because he's a fucking brown belt, but I want to be the training partner that people go, oh man, I need to work on things. Oh, Richard's gonna give me that second to do. And I do that with the white belts too. It's like, think. Because that's the problem I feel like that. And I hear you, I hear Brian, I've heard Fogel is like, just think. Just think of what you're doing and then drill it. Because if you have to think too much, then you're not really fighting. You're just playing chess at that
It's
point.
like speaking a language.
That's the best analogy that Brian says. I don't know where he got it from, but it hits so hard with me because speaking like as many languages as I
Yeah.
do, it's like,
It really is.
oh
I mean,
yeah.
when you first start learning a language, somebody speaks in English to you, and then if you're speaking Spanish, you have to like think about what they said, convert it into Spanish, and then try to speak it back to them. Well, eventually you get to the point where they speak Spanish to you and you speak Spanish back. It's the same thing. They speak jujitsu to you speak jujitsu back without processing it. You're
Yeah.
just doing the move, and that's why when somebody goes, "Well, how do you stay ahead of me all the time?" It's like, because I'm not thinking about it. I'm
Yeah.
literally just speaking
Yeah.
jujitsu. I'm speaking it right back to you.
But there's so many little things too. Like I think one of the things that I would add to that is like it's like the difference between someone who speaks a language and someone who's an interpreter. Like an interpreter is a black belt at languages because I have to be able to process and understand what you're saying in a fraction of seconds for me to be able to give that information to the person that doesn't. And that's what a black belt is. A black belt is someone that's like, oh man, I keep, when I'm here in this position, it's like, all right, well, that's because of the angle, or that's because you're doing this. Like, have you ever, you weren't here for this, but I did a Fuji one time, and this is really embarrassing, but I learned a lot. I had to really swallow my ego. You probably know who this is. He's a black belt now. He's a black belt in judo and a black belt in jujitsu. He's blind. He was born blind. And I fought him at a Fuji, and I fought him at my weight in gi, my weight in no gi, and in the open, and I lost in the finals to him each and every fucking time. And I got mad, and I was like, fuck this. I have a picture with him somewhere. And I was like, dude, how'd you beat me? And he like shook my hand, and he goes, well, what's your name? I go, we were in the finals. And he goes, oh, he goes, you overload. He said something along the lines of like, you telegraph where you go because you pretend like you're gonna go for something and then you step back. And then the second time you go for it, I already know. So he's like, I just counter it. He's like, that's the problem you have. And I was like, how do you
Shout out to all those handicapped grapplers out there, man. Like, I saw a guy at Pan Am's with one leg, went out there and crushed
the
it,
guy
man.
that it was like right below the knee, the purple belt.
I don't know. He was a blue belt at the time, but man, he was a beast there. I think there's more than one, but this guy,
I think
I
I know
mean,
the one you're
he
talking
took somebody
about.
down with one leg, just absolute monster. Like, shout out to that guy.
Probably not the word I wanna look for. Dude, I'm telling you, that dude, there it is. There it
Yeah.
is. There it is.
Blind
Him. Him. Him.
graphic
Him. Him.
Clinton
Him. Him.
Terry.
Him. Right there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
if I'm familiar with him.
Yeah. Him. He. I rolled with him as a blue belt, and, dude, I remember I went for an arm drag, but I would like tap his hand, and I would go like this. But then I take back because I saw his shoulder go back. When all I should have done is just either go for a throw or really go. And he told me, he's like, it's because you telegraph. He's like, and I would feel you move. And instead of just
I
doing the
mean,
move.
he looks like he belongs in that Vin Diesel movie where he's blind, right? Like, what is that one?
Fuck me, I'm trying to figure
You
it
know what I'm
out.
talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he belongs there. He's a beast. I mean, straight up. I mean, for people that don't train or don't do something, like, what is your excuse?
Oh, Pitch Bro, Riddick,
Yeah.
Riddick, Riddick,
Riddick,
yeah,
yeah.
the Chronicles of Riddick.
Yep.
I've never seen that one in English, by the way. That was a huge popular movie in WAPA, which is like a number. It's a number four channel in Puerto Rico. They play all those movies from English to Spanish. They play all of them, bro. Yeah, man, it's fucking. I tell you, dude. It is, you see people like that, and you just really feel like so fucking 27-year-old, 128 win by sub, fucking Gordon Ryan. Dude, I don't know what the fuck else he's gonna do. I
Monster.
don't know who's going to stop him, is the thing. And it's like, I think Mirogali is training with them too, I believe. Yeah, Nicholas Mirogali is training with the Danaher
Yeah,
squad now,
yep.
right?
New
He
wave.
is new wave.
So they
I
call it
don't. Can you
new wave.
explain that to me? Because they go their separate ways, like B team and all. I don't understand what happened.
You know, they split off as far as I know, and I've actually met a guy named Vince who trains B team, super nice guy. I've heard weird, you know, there was a lot of drama, but I don't really know any super details or anything like that. But, you know, New Wave, I mean, they have Dan Manasu, I think his name is part of that team. Some other studs, Gary Tonin is still part of New Wave. You know, you see the B team guys with Nicky Rod, Nicky Ryan, Craig Jones, all of those guys. I mean, they're good too, for sure. But, all in Austin, Texas, man. Weird. They all leave Puerto Rico and end up in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, but
But
I'm curious as to why they left Puerto Rico. It's been interesting to see him grow, the Nicky Ryan dude. I would love to take a private with Danaher one day. All I would probably ask him is like standing concepts, like just understanding when
yeah,
to attack
supposedly
him.
he's—I mean—he's just a combat sports nut in general. He can teach striking and everything else. You know, pretty crazy. Like Gary Tone—that's his only coach in MMA is John Danaher. That's
He's
it.
doing pretty well too.
Pretty good.
Did you see his last fight?
Yeah.
Bro, I almost
Yeah.
puked.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
I don't puke normally. Like I've seen people's shoulder pop, people's fingers, but like it was so I don't want to say grossly irresponsible, but like anybody who like if I'm fighting Gary Toner in a super fight, I probably know I have to watch my fucking legs. And the fact that Gary was nice enough to like not break it,
And you
because he
know,
could
if
have
you're
ripped
fighting him
it.
in a super fight, that a miracle has occurred beforehand.
The what?
That some sort of miracle has occurred beforehand,
It's
right?
super.
Like,
I
people are gonna be like, who is this Richard guy, and why is he competing against Gary Tonin?
No, God, no. But what I'm saying is like here, let me just pull it for the people watching. You probably don't follow. What was this opponent? Hold on. The Balharas one was wild too. 1 month
Right
ago.
there,
Yep.
Gassimov,
Bro,
Shamil
his fucking leg. I swear to you, I thought he was gonna rip for it. Because as soon as I saw him come in like this, I was like, oh, he's gonna rip it. Let's go
Gassimov. Never
here.
MMA in a ring like that, man. I love that.
You like it?
I love it. Yeah.
Hold on, let me
MMA's
see
been
here.
tried. I love it. I think it's great.
We'll go here.
MMA in a ring is just cool.
Yeah, so see, this is right here the part that cracks me up is he's trying he has his hand in like a Kimura style, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
ยปลดแขนแกรี่โทนอนจากที่เมื่อกี้ล้วงคออยู่ครับก็เปลี่ยนมาจับเอวแทน
Look at how tight he's keeping his
like,
throne.
They
are so, oh my god. They're Muay Thai stuff. Oh my god. When I'm trying to find out what the fuck happened with his hair. See, right there. Okay. This is part of what I was talking about. See how he's like trying to fish for that right there? He's getting in. Yeah, see right there, bro. If he wanted to be an asshole, and he probably can't because he's probably has the overhook. But bro, if he wanted to be an asshole, he could have started digging him, and he could have just slammed his leg right there and just look. He doesn't respond either. It's so beautiful when it's a white ring, isn't it? Like, I think AOJ has, like, really fucked everybody in the jiu-jitsu community by having the best-looking gym.
Well, supposedly, it's, like,
what? Really? What the fuck do they use? My fucking back. But I gotta know what the fuck is up with the hair. That's what I was like curious.
He has
about.
That, it's not alopecia, which definitely is all of your hair, but he has that like spot baldness where.
Probably from too much mat time.
Well, even if he's like, it's like an immune.
It's probably from too much mat time too, because Leandro Lo had this patch here.
Yeah.
Yes, he keeps looking for that fucking thing.
The strategy of being able to push them.
Mm-hmm.
Cut the angle.
You can use the wall to like, yeah. Gary Tone, just look at it, dude. Not a fucking hat on that motherfucker. All fucking muscle. This is right here, like the only spot that I really thought he was going to guillotine him. But then I saw that he was had his hand there around him. There was no way. There we go. Oh god, dude.
Which is the best rule set?
Mm-hmm. Elbows too. Elbows. They can't hit downward. Right? I think you can't go like this.
But,
like,
but you should be allowed to.
I don't know.
I think actually it's perfect.
I'd like to see the science behind that. I don't know. That's a cool takedown, I guess. Fucking hook that leg immediately. Good a butterfly hook. About to go flying, son. You think the game plan was they were like just get it to the ground or see what's up?
I mean, going against somebody wrestling, it's wrong. I mean, not much.
And his gas tank, like, that dude, like
a lot of jiu-jitsu guys, a lot of wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much wrestlers, because there's some pretty good strikers that are wrestlers. A lot of jiu-jitsu guys start thinking that they can strike.
Yeah. I feel like it's because
in the gym and stuff is not the same.
I feel like also it's because people don't really understand. Like, hey, you can get striked here, like. That's why I love the way that Brian explains it. It's like, hey, you know, the points are based upon where you can strike someone the most.
Yeah.
Like, that start, that made. Shit, so that right there, you feel like that's a good rule to like, you go to L, meet him like that.
That was the.
Realistic. There it is. Okay.
It's
let's rewind that right here. This is where I get a little lost.
So basically, Gasanoff steps between his legs. So his left leg. If you watch.
This leg, the leg watch, closest. Okay. Yeah,
you watch his left leg.
Okay, right here. This is where it's coming.
Yeah,
he stepped in between.
His
okay.
Left leg, he steps in between, and Gary Tonin decides to let go of the head and rolls for that leg.
Right there. As soon as he had this, look at him. He's looking at him like, bro, I'm going to break it.
Yeah.
And the dude's not respecting at all, I feel like. Like, look, he's even looking and going, no, I'm good. Gary's like, bro, I'm about to make you a – you're about to go compete in the fucking Paralympic Olympics, bro. Yeah. Look at him. Look at he's fucking like he's smiling. Yeah, they call that. There's points there.
See how he adjusts?
Look. Bro, he did not respect that at all, homie.
But until he went heel to heel and pushed off of his hip. That was done.
Beautiful. Leg locks are such a
beautiful.
Leg locks to me are such a
street rules, Richard.
No, not street rules because it's prison but rules, but it's the same principle as prison, but it's the same principle as my hands. I can't let you get around my hands or under my hands.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful, man.
I think it's beautiful. I just wish I'd understood him better.
Yeah, I mean, go all the way back in the day, Marco Hua against Gary Goodridge. He takes a beating the entire fight, and then all of a sudden he goes for a Hail Mary heel hook and heel hooks him, you know. Like,
Marcelo Garcia, ADCC, you know, when they threw the
Anderson
shoe at him.
Silva.
Oh,
Rio Chonin.
Yeah.
You know, Rio Chonin hits him with a flying heel hook, and that was back in Anderson's prime, you know, right before he had his 15
fight. I forgot about that until now. You know? Yeah, he did hit him with an outside flying
yep.
heel hook, I believe.
Yep, so flying heel hook. I mean, all kinds of amazing heel hook finishes.
Huh. I never thought. I know it's. I think like for me, it's like I watch a lot of the ADCC stuff, and it was like one of the things that like caught me was when they throw like when Marcelo Garcia. Have you seen that when he? It was like I can't remember the guy's name. Damn it, the big old guy that he fought at ADCC.
Rico Rodriguez.
I think it was him that he heel hooked him.
Puerto Rican cheater, dude.
What do you mean cheater? I was gonna say. He threw people threw a fucking shoe at Marcel.
Well, Rico slammed it.
That was legal though, I believe,
you know,
back
so
then.
He took his back and then Rico jumped up in the air and just fell on his back and tried to smush him.
Was that legal or
it's legal, but it was dirty. People thought that was dirty. So that was controversial back then that he had done that, you know. But the style, it's funny you look back at the style of what they wore back then. A lot of when I first started training jiu-jitsu in Nogi, a lot of guys wore like big baggy t-shirts back then. If you watch some of the old fights, like you can see like Shinya Aoki, even Marcelo, like sometimes they're wearing like a long sleeve t-shirt competing in ADCC because they liked having these big shirts to kind of like smother people with. You used to see that back then, but I'll tell you what, like if you want to watch some old matches, especially ADCC, that's like really fun. Dave Terrell, before he fought in the UFC, he was probably at one point was the best American born grappler, you know, like he was amazing. Dave Terrell was again says the descent of the UFC's most promising career. He was a beast.
Oh,
man.
He had mental health issues though.
No, he got hurt, you know. I don't know if he had mental health or not, but Dave Terrell was amazing. He was really, really good.
I thought it was BJ Penn because BJ Penn won the Brasileiros back before they had.
Oh, this is crazy, fans. Richard. Do you know who Cameron Earl is? This is nuts.
No.
So Cameron Earl,
Grappler's Quest.
So
holy
Cameron
shit,
Cameron Earl. For those who don't know, there is a on the MMA Underground, MMA.tv. Now it's MixedMartialArts.com. There was a thread that I believe was written by Scotty Nelson. I think it was Scotty Nelson maybe that wrote it, but it was about Cameron Earl, and Cameron Earl had beaten Marcelo Garcia back in the day. Like he was good.
Really?
And he was part of Ralph Gracie team with like Kurt Oseander and all those guys. And Cameron was like the top of that team. And he was really good. Like if he would have gotten in trouble, but crazy story is that he was a wild guy, got in a lot of fights, did some things, but he got caught Somebody that he had a relationship with and broke up or something, I believe is how the story goes, accused him of rape. And he went to the police and turned himself in, and that story was BS. He hadn't raped that person. But 17 years prior, he raped somebody else.
And then that person,
And on DNA, they got
they got
him, and he ended up going to prison eventually. But he fled the state, went up to Oregon under a fake name, was teaching jiu-jitsu. Supposedly, they knew who he was, but they felt like he was too valuable to learn from. They didn't want him to go. And the
Oh,
Cameron Earl
God.
story is crazy, but he is still in prison in California for having raped somebody. He like raped them and stole their coffee maker.
Wait,
Like straight up, like that's what he did. But
my
Cameron
God,
Earl was like an
what?
unknown jiu-jitsu monster, dude. He was really good. Like Dave Terrell beats him in this one. I've watched this before, but Cameron Earl was really, really good, man. He was like always one of the toughest guys in the room. But he actually has wins. They may have fought twice or three times, but I want to say that he beat Marcelo Garcia at least once. Which there's not
Holy
a whole lot
shit,
of people that
yeah.
can say that, but Cameron Earl, man, was an absolute monster. He's kind of forgotten about because of what a scumbag he is. But if you ever get a chance, look that up. You may even put in, mixedmartialarts.com Cameron Earl, and you may find the actual thread. And
What's
see
his,
what
how do
they
you spell his
say.
last name?
E A R LE. But scroll down for me. Keep scrolling.
There it is. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it is. There it is. There it is. Let's see this.
Yes.
Warning, very long and little
Crazy.
graphics. Hold on. Let me see
Yes.
if this is. Where's this from? Be January 2013.
Yep. So this tells the whole story, man. This is just a thread on mixedmartialarts.com. And but again, if you don't know
Holy
who Cameron Earl
shit.
is, know that of his generation, he was potentially one of the most talented and dangerous American jiu-jitsu competitors of all.
Yeah, he defeated Marcelo Garcia
Two out of
two out of
three.
three.
Two out of three, he beat Marcelo. Insane to think about that. And nobody even knows who this guy is anymore. Cameron Earl.
Never met his actual father.
Rumor has it that he was a cat burglar or something from back east. Crazy, huh?
It's wild to me, man, how we have all these people that have all this trauma and they come to jiu-jitsu and like a lot of
Yeah,
times
started training at Alps in 97, so only 4 years after the first UFC, and was just a beast, man.
judo before he found
Trained at
out. Oh,
Go
he did
Force.
judo?
Trained at Go Force.
Holy fuck. Back in those days, that was like the
That was the place.
gauntlet.
Yep.
That was a gauntlet, was that was, bro. That was a fucking, actually, no. That was a gulag, bro. Like, if we're talking about modern, like, Call of Duty style, that was a fucking gulag. You know who I had recently that they had some really good stories too, but I next time I have him, I'll probably have you on because you probably have a little more wisdom. Jack Toffer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
So I
he.
hung out with Jack in Salt Lake City the last time I was there,
Oh, did you?
or the time before last, actually. Yeah, we hung out. He saw me and I was wearing a tank top and shorts and flip flops. And he said he was at a bar and there was a very nice restaurant in front of the bar with a glass on the front and the back. And I could see through it into the bar.
You saw
And I
him.
said, "Should I come through the restaurant?" And he said, "No, don't come through the restaurant. They'll arrest you. You look like Jersey Shore exploded." That's what he told me. That's what Jack told me,
Jersey
actually. But Jack
exploded.
was super fun to hang out with, and it was fun. He also started training way back in the day, so pretty crazy.
Yeah, he's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to like jujitsu history and stuff like
Yep.
that. God, Grappler's Quest. What the fuck ever happened to that?
So, Grappler's Quest, crazy thing is that the guy that started Grappler's Quest, I'm trying to remember what his name is. I have weird knowledge about jiu-jitsu myself, but did you know that the people that started Naga actually tried to injure him permanently? And that when he started Grappler's Quest, they were kind of friendly and he competed at a Naga and they paid a D1 wrestler to like slam him on his neck. And the D1 wrestler ended up coming out and admitting that he had done it on purpose and that he felt so bad about it. He like, I think he became like a drug addict or something, with like feeling bad about what he did to that
Yeah, man.
person.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, but
I didn't know that, but that sounds
yeah,
like, yeah.
you know,
Yeah.
crazy story.
Dude, most fun fact, I've sat in interview rooms with people who are like actual assassins, like actual sicarios, and I've never met one that it was either drugs, booze, which is also a drug,
Yeah.
or like women. It was all three of those things that they abused because they felt bad about what they did. Like I knew a guy that oh, Peruvian neck. Ooh, that looks nasty. That looks nasty. Yeah, there you go. Don't let go until the ref tells you, man.
Yeah.
I met a guy that he was the cartel. He flipped. Let me see how I can explain this. He had flipped, and he had gone to a three-letter agency to give them information about the cartel, about Lyme, which is Lyme is the Mexican mafia. And they found out somehow, and they tried to kill him. And the way that they tried to kill him, because I remember I interpreted the description was, they grabbed like a like copper wire, right? And the dude heated it up a little bit, caught him from behind, and tried to choke him with it. But he knew that it felt hot, so it was like burning him. So he grabbed it and he burned like his fingers trying to get it off. So he killed the guy, and then he crossed the border with like a bunch of information, like that three-letter agency had given him some stuff. And I remember when we were interrogating him, you know, I'm interpreting, and I never forget, they go, how did you make it? Because he had to cross. He goes, I had some coke with me, and I just started running. And every time I feel tired, I do a bump. He was hospitalized for 4 days. He lost 87 pounds
Oh,
doing
man.
that. He ran for 3 days. And dude, I'm telling you, I remember they're asking him. He's like, man, he's like, my thing is just, he's like, it's women and coke. He's like, I just love to abuse. He's like, why? He goes, that way I numb myself when I have to kill someone. It's like, whoa, dude, every time.
Like,
That's why I'm
yeah, I just
always,
do jiu-jitsu for a living. That's
yeah,
what I do.
that's why I tell people, like, I grapple with other men while they try to like choke me. It's like
Yeah,
the most
simulate
non-gayest
killing your
thing.
friends. That's
Yeah,
what we do.
simulating murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's like Rogan explained that really well, and I've used that analogy a lot of times to explain to people, because I used to disagree with it, and like I don't know why, like in recent years, like the past 2, 3 years, I'm like, oh yeah, like if we don't let go, you're fucking dead or broken. Like if I don't let go of a rear naked choke, after 2 minutes, after like a minute, you're losing brain cells.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're just nice enough to
Yeah.
like understand to let go. Isn't that crazy
That
though?
is crazy.
Like if you really think about jiu-jitsu from like a comedic perspective, we're paying a dude to teach us how to defend ourselves by them beating us up every day.
Some of
So
us. Some of us.
I get beat up too much, bro. Well, dude, I appreciate you coming, man.
Yeah,
This
let's do
has
it again
been,
sometime, man.
yeah, no,
Let's
this
run
has
it
been,
safe.
next time I have Jack, I'd love to have you here, because I think you would have a lot more insight into like historical jiu-jitsu questions that he
Yeah.
probably has. But dude, it's so nice to see you, man. Where can everybody find you and your
Instagram,
socials and
I Jeff
everything?
V on Instagram is probably the best place to find me. It's wide open, so you know, I still get the Russian bots and all that stuff that follow me on there,
Are
but
they hot at least,
you
or
know. Not it's mixed, you know.
it's
I like the ones where they use like you know, clearly appears to be some sort of a supermodel picture or something like that on
Oh
there, which
God, dude.
is
I don't
hilarious.
get those on Facebook. I get those bots
I get a
like on
lot of
Instagram.
the Bitcoin ones that like want to send me a message about investing in
I get those on
Bitcoin.
Instagram too.
Yeah.
Facebook, I
Yeah.
rarely
I don't
get.
get much on Facebook because I keep that private, but Instagram I leave wide open. So you know, I Jeff V on Instagram. I mainly post stuff about my family, my wife, my kids, you know, all that kind of stuff. Myself, a little bit of jiu-jitsu stuff. I don't post that often. I should probably post more. Find me on there. We actually have a podcast as well, though. Me and my wife, Two Coffees and an Argument. So you can look that up on any podcast platform. And we've got some funny episodes. We've talked about kind of re-upping that and starting to do some more
You
episodes,
should.
more of a family-friendly podcast. But But yeah, so thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No, dude, I appreciate you coming, man. It's always nice.